Hi, this is Pastor Patrick of Calvary Chapel, Wichita. I pray that the Lord will richly bless you as you listen to this message.
Let's open in prayer real quick. Lord, we just thank you for this evening. We thank you for this time that we get to get together and see what you have for us in your word. Something that we can hold on to, hold fast to, Lord, with as we leave the outside of these walls, Lord, we go into the world and it just seems to want to beat us up. Lord, so we just ask you to help us and help us to show us directions we need to go and to hold us fast to what you have for us. Keep us on that path. Show us in your word, Lord. Lord, we give it all to you tonight. We praise and worship you for all you do. We give it all to you, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior. And all the saints say, amen. Well, tonight I guess I am doing extreme faith. I guess we're doing extremes this Wednesdays for four of them, I think. And I know that there's one is extreme love. What's the other ones? Hope and prayer. And I got the faith one. And thinking about that, at first I thought, nah, this would be pretty cool. Faith, that's cool. But then you look at it and you start looking into faith and you look through the scriptures of what the Lord's going to lead you to and what you're going to look at. I took a few notes down here. Do you know that faith is mentioned 283 times throughout the Bible? So which one of those faiths do I pick to teach on? Yeah, all of them. So we're going to call in for breakfast, get your menus out. That's not counting all the other words as in faithful and faithfulness. There's another 28 of those. So, you know, there's a lot of different areas we could pick for faith. But I wanted to look at the different definitions of faith, too. There's more than just what you think. Well, faith is. You know, we have faith in ourselves. We can have faith in others. We can have faith in Jesus Christ. But each one of those is a different type of faith. I have faith in myself to take a test or to do something or to run a marathon. And you find the test. Well, I think there's six or eight of these. It says, first one was strong or unshakable belief in something, especially without proof or evidence. Having faith in that. A specific system of religious beliefs, the Jewish faith. Or how about Christianity? Trust in God and in His actions and promises. And then a conviction of the truth of certain doctrines and religions, especially when this is not based on reason. Fifth one is complete confidence or trust in a person's remedy, etc. And other people, trust in other people, have faith in them. Number six is any set of firmly held principles or beliefs. Number seven is allegiance or loyalty as to a person or cause, especially in the phrases kept as in keep the faith or break faith. How about number eight? Bad faith, insecurity, or dishonesty. Number nine, the last one is good faith, honesty or sincerity as of intention in business, especially in the phrase of good faith. So what do we look at when we see faith, when we get into faith? I mean, when I gave this and took faith, I was thinking, this is, to be honest with you, this is kind of fun and kind of easy. Be neat to get into it. And the more I thought about it, the more I thought about what we're learning about is Jesus Christ and our faith in Him. And the dynamic of that. And then to throw in what Patrick once thrown in is extreme faith. Well, what and how do you put extreme faith into that? And where do you go with that in the scriptures? Tonight we're going to look at two of those out of the nine. And it's you probably see them as a strong or unshakable belief in something, especially without proof or evidence, and that is believing in Jesus Christ. I don't know of anybody here that's met Him face to face, has touched Him, spent time with Him, done anything with Him, but yet we trust in Him, and we have a faith in Jesus. So we're going to look at that tonight. And the other one is Christianity, the trust in God the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ, and His actions and promises. Knowing that He's going to be there for every step of our walk in our faith in Him. Another thing I wanted to look at is on faith. When it comes to faith, we don't just get that. We learn to love people. We get that love through Jesus Christ. But our faith is actually something that grows. You know, when I came to the Lord, I imagine a lot of you same way. When I came to the Lord, I was pretty much lost and out there and everything else. And I was drugs and drinking. I've told you that before. And I was, and then all of a sudden I come to the Lord. Well, I really don't have a faith really based there. I've been shown something. I was shown the way. I was told that, you know, this is the way to go and you'll have freedom and you have everlasting life. But I don't remember Him saying, now you got faith. That faith comes as we get into the Word of God, as we watch Him, as we walk with Him. And we see how that is. And then others see our faith in Jesus Christ and they want to follow that. That's where we're going to go tonight. It's about faith. Turn with me to Philemon. Philemon. One little bitty chapter in here. We're going to cover the first seven verses tonight. And let's read them now and we'll get a perspective of what we're looking at. It says, Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved brother and fellow worker, to Apphia, our sister, and to our Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always, making mention of you in my prayers, because I hear of your love and of the faith which you have towards the Lord Jesus and towards all the saints. And I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. For I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. We start off with the first three verses, really, four verses, and it's a typical letter that Paul writes. This letter is from Paul to Timothy, with Timothy, to Philemon, primarily to Philemon. He throws in a few to say hi to, and the church there. He has a feeling for them, but this letter is really towards Philemon. And we know what the letter is about. It's about his slave, runaway slave, Onesimus, who's ran away, and he ends up, God ordained, and he ends up in the fold with Paul, and Paul then takes him, has him, and introduces him to Jesus Christ. He becomes a Christian, and now he's going to send him back. And this letter is a letter that goes before, that goes with Onesimus as he goes back to receive him back, not only just as a slave and as a runaway slave, but as a brother in Christ. And I love the way he just brings it out there. Then, of course, he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he does that to almost all of his letters. He always brings that to him. He wants grace upon him. You know, when we do things, every time we have a problem with people or we deal with people in our lives and we have a situation, you know, we should always what? Err in sight of grace. And that faith in Christ that He's going to take care of whatever the situation we have, and we all have them. It's nothing that we get away from, but it's what we do with it and how we do that. And he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 4, it picks up, I thank my God always, making mention of you in my prayers. You know how awesome that is. Every letter of Paul, except in Galatians, includes an expression of thanksgiving in the opening. He always gives a thanksgiving to whoever he's writing to the church he's writing to it to. And he tells him he prays for him, and I believe he did. Prayer is such an important part of us and who we are to God that our faith is built on prayer. So in the four verses, we see who it's to. We see that it's grace be upon them, and how he thanks God for Philemon and the church there, and he praises them for what they are in the opening of it. And then we start getting into the meat of what the message is. And this is what I wanted to bring to us tonight. It says, because I hear of your love, and since the extreme love is somebody else's, we'll just kind of skip over love tonight. We know what it's about. And of your faith, which you have towards the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints. How did Paul know about this? How did he know about what was going on back there? Most likely it was Onesimus, the runaway slave that would stop and talk about Philemon as his master and what he was doing there, how he was serving God. He probably didn't even know what he was talking about when he was telling him, oh yeah, he's back there. He's one of those Christian guys and he's really, you know, crazy and he does things and he's just serving people and he's loving people and he's doing this stuff. And Paul sees it for what it is. Oh man, Holy Spirit's got a hold of him. He's got faith in God and he's running with it. We look at this. Who is Philemon? He is no more than we right now. To this day, we are sitting here tonight. He is just a common folk. He's nothing big. He's called to do a small congregation in a house church. That means that your home with your children, your home with your family, your group at work, the people you... There's your church. And the faith that you need to trust in God to go out and to serve that church, to love those people. And right here, we see a man who just does that. And Paul sees it from a distance. By a word, he sees it, and he understands it, that this man has faith towards Jesus Christ. Jesus is Lord. And it just grows and grows. It goes on to say in verse 6, it says, and I pray that the fellowship of your faith, the fellowship of your faith. What is fellowship? In that time that we share together, that we spend time together, we have a fellowship hall and we fellowship after church and we fellowship after on Sundays and we go to the restaurants together and we get to know one another one-on-one and we see each other and we have that fellowship with. And here Paul's saying, I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for who? Christ's sake. And that fellowship is with Christ, and that faith is through Him. And that faith we walk in, and we talk in, and we hold fast to. You know, I've got two or three friends of ours that have come up with cancer lately. We have a little saint in our church, and she's in her 70s, and she's got cancer, and we've done through the battle with it now, and unfortunately, the cancer is winning. And the doctors are getting to the point now, they just said, well, it's terminal. Kind of knew at the beginning, but we give it a shot. And we know that. But you know, she's never lost the faith in her Lord Jesus Christ. I've been watching it from afar. I go and visit her. I talk to her. And she's always excited about what God's doing. She was the one that when we went to start a Bible study, she came the second night because she couldn't make it the first night. She had a pre-engagement. She'd heard about it on the radio. She was excited that Calvary Chapel was coming to town. And she shows up. She's been there ever since. She's the one that pushed me, personally, into getting the first church building to start a church. I was hoping to go 2 years. It'd be real nice to just drive 2 hours and get there and get established and get into people. No, not her. She goes, you know, we got 18, 20 people here. We can do a church now. Do you know that we can do a church? This is like after 3 months. I said, wait a minute, we got time. Well, 9 months later, she went and found a building and came up and says, here, Pastor, we got a meeting with somebody to go look at a building. I go, what? And she goes, yeah, we're going to go look at a building so we can start church. And we did. And she's had faith every step of the way. And now she knows that she's dying. She knows that God is going to be taking her home soon. She's not giving up the fight. But her faith is amazing because she checks on the church. She came last Sunday and she hasn't been there since Easter. She comes every 3 to 4 weeks, and she barely makes it in, and we have to get her out to the car, and then we have people take her home and pick her up. And she'll come when she really feels she can make it through the 2.5 hours while she's there. But her faith is so grounded in Christ that you look at that and you say, man, with that knowing that you're going to leave your family and you're going to leave, her faith is so strong. And you know, through this, her faith is that strong that she still proclaims Christ. When she goes to the cancer center, everybody knows who she is besides being Barb. Not only does she know that there she's a Christian, but she's radical for Jesus Christ. Because her faith is so strong in the Lord and what He's doing and what He's brought her through throughout her life that she proclaims Christ everywhere she goes. And what a testament that is. And the knowledge of Him, and that's what Paul's saying to Philemon. Man, I pray that the fellowship of your faith, that relationship through your faith in Christ, that it goes out beyond just that. Are you taking it beyond these walls? Are you taking it beyond your home? Are you sharing Jesus Christ? Are you? And I'm not here to bang on you or to beat you up or hit you the Bible. I'm just asking the question. Because there's somebody in here saying, well, you know, I could do more. But how? Well, it's through the Word of God and through the faith in Him to show you. Well, I don't talk well in front of people. Well, I don't either. But I'm here and I do it. And I don't read well, but it's okay because God gives me what I need to do to get through it. So it doesn't matter. It's about sharing Christ and having faith in Him. You know, we can go back in the Old Testament and see where Moses didn't want to do it because he couldn't speak. And he said, don't worry about it. We'll bring, you know, Aaron along with you and he can speak for you. But just go for it. Well, after a while, he gets into the motion and he does well. But his faith wasn't there in God. It was, okay, are you sure? Me? You know, but it's what God does with us. He does in every step of the way. And He wants to use us mightily, even if it's just with our children, to making sure they grow up to know who He is. God wants us so bad. The Father wants us so bad to share about His Son and what His Son has done for us, that He's given us everything. And it's the faith that we walk in. So I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective. Effective is a big word here. It means working. Works out there for you. That you are effective within it. Is your light shining? Are you effective in your community? Are you effective in that little church of yours? And then through the knowledge of every good thing. Taking away the junk, keeping in the Word of God, bring it inside you, which is in you. And why does He say that? Because you know, when we come to the Lord, He gives us everything we need. It's not that we're superhuman and super smart and He gives us everything there, but He does. I was just talking last Sunday to our group, and we're in Romans, and it talks about this there. It's like God, when He comes, when we say, yes, Jesus, yes, God, I am a sinner, and I am bad, and I repent to You, and I give You my life. He gives you everything. It's there. We see that because He did it to Paul. When Paul, the light came upon Paul, the scales dropped off, he had all the knowledge that he needed for the rest of his time on earth to share the gospel. We do too. Every bit of it, it's in there. But it's like a computer program back in the old days. You used to buy this computer. It was old disk, big old square fat thing. And you stick it in there and it spins on a little bit. And then it comes up and it says, okay, this is what you get for this $19.95. But if you want this, this, and this, and this, you got to pay another $10.95 and $10.95 and $10.95. And you get a little pop-up and then you pay that and you get a little bit more. Well, see, God gives it all to us. We got all these boxes inside of us, all ready to be opened, but we don't get that opened if we're just going to sit on our fannies and do nothing. But when we get into the Word of God, and God starts revealing things to us, those boxes open, and another one opens, and we start being revealed more and more what God has for us to share the gospel. That's why we're here. We're to live a good life, enjoy our life, but to share the gospel. And as we grow and we see the Word of God and it goes and works in us and these things open up and they come new to us. How many times have you been through the whole Bible? Do you read it yearly? I mean, I push it a lot at our church, and I try to give them the read through the year in the Bible, open Bible, read through the year, the whole bit, just to get them in the Word. I read it through every year. And what's amazing to me, I can read it and study it, and then the next time I pick it up, I see something completely different. Completely. And you know that. And what it is from yesterday to today to tomorrow, it's different. Why? Because I'm in a different place than I was yesterday, because that's past. And I'm in now today because it's present, and who knows what's going on, and you're doing it. And tomorrow's going to bring another day. And you get into the Word of God, and it opens up to you. So as you're reading this, those boxes are popping open. And we're growing in that knowledge. But God's already planted in you for you to open it. And it's real easy. Everybody has it. You have it. It's in you now. You just got to get it out of the Word. And the Word opens it up to you. And it pulls you closer to Him. And it gives you the boldness to go out. And it gives you the faith to go out. God's amazing. So it says, this knowledge of every good thing which is in you, for whose? Christ's sake. It's about Jesus Christ. You know, lately we've been getting a lot of things going on. There's a big article that just came out in our little paper up there. Some guy came on and in the religious section on Friday last week and opened the whole can of worms about homosexuality, kind of siding with, he's a Christian, siding with the president and doing these different things. And when talking about the Bible isn't, you know, there's parts of it that aren't really right and true. And, you know, it's not all scripture and it's not all this. And I'd say that's hogwash. Because if nothing is, if I can't look at this as 100% true from first word to last word, I will not be here and I will not talk to you about Jesus Christ. Because it means nothing. If I can't fall on the Word of God and hold on fast to the Word of God, have faith in Jesus Christ through the Word of God, then I have nothing at all. And I see these people and I'm thinking, what got them to that point? Why did they veer off so far? What happened to their faith? And that's where it comes in extreme for us. We're to the point now that people think that we're weird. Because we're so sold out to Jesus Christ. And it's that faith that we have. And it's extreme faith. You know, I'm looking all through this thing about extreme faith. There's a bunch of places people have faith in war. Lord, do I go to war? David did. Do I go to war? Do I stay home? Go to war. Okay. He had faith. He went out there and warred out. And won. Come back with all the spoil. We, every day, now today, we don't pick up our warrior stuff and we run outside and look around for somebody to... We don't do that today. We go out into the world... We do need our armor, but we do it with a different sword, and that sword is Jesus Christ in His Word. And we proclaim the gospel. We have faith that He's going to take us out there. That extreme faith just takes a little bit. God opens it up to us continually, all the time. And then verse 7, and we're going to go quite a ways in verse 7 here, because there's a lot to this as it empties out. It says, for I come to have much joy and comfort in your love. And again, we don't want to go too much into love. I don't want to get into the other guy's place. But when he talks about this love here, the comfort of the love that he has for others, a one-on-one for people, and the concern for them is because of his faith in Christ. Before I became a Christian, like all of us, there was that inner area, that inner group that you had a love with, or you enjoyed, or you wanted to share with, your family and a few friends that you had love with. And that's about as far as it went. You know, you might bring a new friend in if you meet somebody or something. It takes a while. What was weird for me is becoming a Christian, and all of us suddenly have all this funny, weird stuff in me that I... come along and I meet a guy and you don't know he's a Christian at first, but he starts talking different. You're thinking, does he know? And then you ask him, are you a Christian? Yeah, and you have this instant love for him because it's Jesus Christ. That love between you is amazing. And it's instant, completely instant. I was working here in Wichita for a company called Stanion Electric here, outside salesman. They had a big party that they were going to. I was stuck having to go to it. I knew there was going to be drinking there, and there was. But you're there as a salesman, and the company says you go, and you, unfortunately, you go. But you can stand for what you do. You don't have to drink. You don't have to crowds with them and all that stuff. We go in. They were having this big shindig out at the cotillion. So we go there, and we show up, and we get in. And why it was is we were it was a big electrical company that was having this party, and they invited us in, and we brought in all kinds of free goodies to give away at their little shindig. But we were invited in, so as a one for standing, that's who my boss sent me to. So we walked in, we looked around. Sure enough, the bars are open, and people are doing all this stuff. And we look way over here, and there's an empty table. Way off, there's a bunch of tables all the way around. You know, probably been in the cotillion, but off to one side, way over here. The stage was still there. They were going to have a band come in later, and there was an empty table. So I looked at my wife, and I said, let's just hang out over there. And I go, it's kind of out of the mainstream, and I'll go and carouse with the people I have to the company thing, but then we can retreat, and we can go over here. When it gets time, we can slide right out. She goes, okay. So we go over and sit. So about 15 minutes later, this couple comes over and says, hi, how are you? Can we sit here? And we go, yeah. And they sit down, and we get talking for a while. And she goes, are you guys Christians? And we go, yeah, are you? Yeah, me too. And we get talking. And then we get this other couple comes over. And they sat down, and they said, hi, how are you? They're Christians. And these other people come over. Hi, how are you? And they knew each other from church. Well, we end up having a whole table of Christians over here, had a great time all night long. And the love for them was because my faith in Jesus Christ. Because of that, we have love between each other. That was the wildest, weirdest thing I'd ever been involved in. We had a great time. We stayed until it was all over. Well, until the drunks got really drunk, and then we decided to get out of here before it got bad. But we stayed most of the night. We didn't listen to the band much. We didn't pay attention. We visited and shared about mission trips and about things and just about Christ. While the party of the world's roaming on, God brought all these Christians together on one side. And we were there, all of us, because of why? It's back to faith. And that love between us and that kindred spirit was because of Christ and his faith. Our faith in him. The faith, too, is a faith that we learn. It builds upon. It starts off small. You test waters. I'm sure everybody here has done this once or twice. Well, God, if I do this, will you do that? It's a test, but it's a building of faith. God says, sure. And we do it, and he does it. Wow, okay, I can trust him in the little things. Maybe I can trust him in a little something more. And God just builds our faith in him through his love to us. We see what he did for us on the cross. We know that all the stuff that he's done for us and how he provides for us, how he takes care of us. But he even gives us that faith that we need to carry each day. You know, there's times that we get in trouble and people in our families die and things happen, or we go through tragedies, or one day we're working, next day we're not. And that's when our faith in our Lord comes in the most powerful right there. That's extreme for us. Because there's sometimes you get to the point you can't even think anymore. You can't even comprehend what's going on or what's happening. And it's not just your faith has waned away or you've lost that faith. It's just you just don't know what to do next. And you know, and that's when the Holy Spirit comes in and undergirds us and holds us up and regains our legs underneath us, which is our faith, back into him. He pulls us back in every step of the way. For I have come to have much joy and comfort in your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. And that's you, people. Brothers and sisters, here tonight. You bless so many people, so many others, believers or non-believers. You bless them because of your faith in Jesus Christ. Just being there sometimes is a big power. I work at a school district, and pretty much not very many Christians there. I'm in the maintenance department. I have some pretty rough people. We have bad Santa. I'm not kidding you. Beard down to here, hair down to here. It's white, just like what you've seen in the movies. That's bad Santa, and he's bad. His every other word is a cuss word, and it's just there. At first, when he knew I was a Christian and stuff like that, he held back. But I've been there now 5 years, so I'm like, he doesn't now. He just rolls them up. And I say, Gary, do you have to? And then blankety blank blank blank. Well, no, no, I don't guess I don't. And then he walks on. But what an opportunity for me to be in the midst of that and shine. You know, they brought me into their own, even though I can stand away. They still bring me in as a group. I'm still part of that group. And I want to be there because I'm probably the only Jesus they're going to see. You know, I read my Bible at lunch and they see that. And then I'll be walking through the shop and I'll have my Bible with me. And first they used to say things, now they don't. Every once in a while, it's a whole Jesus and the Pharisee that came in and snuck in. Every once in a while, they'll come in and they'll, can I talk to you? And they'll look over here. And then we'll go in and we'll talk a little bit. And they know that they can come to me. And that's where it comes into that human faith. You know, they even have faith. It's just the lost faith that is not in Jesus. But they kind of come to me to help them through things because they know that I'm going to tell them the truth, good and the bad. And they have a little faith in that. I would like to see, of all of them, Gary to come to the Lord. I've got his son who's working there, Caleb, and I've been working on him pretty hard. He's 23, and you can pray for Caleb. I've got him going to Christian concerts now, and he likes them, but he still doesn't know why he goes. Wow, they're really good. And he likes the hard rock ones, but he goes to them now, and he hears about it. He says, are you going to this one? And I said, no, I can't make that one. Well, I'm going. And off he goes. And he comes back. What do you think? Well, it's pretty good. Well, did you hear what he said in the message? Well, yeah. But one of these days, it'll kick in. And I have faith in Jesus Christ because he's put me there working with that young kid. And Jesus is going to come to him. But it's through us. It's through you that our faith is in Christ and that we have for the love for the others. There's a lot of unlovable people out there. My pastor, I still call my pastor Mark Fry. My pastor taught down there, and then when he came up to our dedication, I had him speak, and he spoke, and he brought the same thing up. As Calvary Chapel, or as he did, and we're the same way here, we want to be known, and it's kind of gross, but we want to be known as the carcass pickers. Because I don't need somebody who's coming in a nice suit and halfway knows Jesus and thinks he knows whatever and he's doing this and you can't get effectively to him. I want somebody who's coming in broken, who needs the Word of God, who needs Jesus. And you know, since we've been praying that way, we've had some pretty interesting people come through the doors. And when they come in, they are broken. They're into 15 different doctrines. They're kind of lost out there. They don't know what's going on. They know enough to get themselves in trouble. And yet you set them down and you talk to them and you get them straightened out and they just stick because they just love being there. And you watch and you see their faith grow. That's amazing growth in that. We just started a little church, so it started in Bible study. So the people I had come in Bible study really was coming from other denominations that didn't get a lot of Bible studies, that didn't do a lot of teaching like we teach at Calvary. How that works and how that comes across, how we go through the whole book and we go line by line. They didn't get a lot of that. And a lot of them were still out there, just living in the world a little bit, but leaning towards Christ. But they came and they started coming, and before you know it, they get stronger and they stronger and then they're stronger. And they're one of them, I have two gentlemen in particular and their wives, they're just loves. I love the guys a great amount. In fact, they are probably one of my future leaders, both of them. One of them, he came, and the first day he came, his wife drug him in. He didn't want to be there. Come from a Baptist background. He sits straight back from me, sits there with his arms folded, watching me the whole time. And he didn't smile, didn't do anything. He said something, he come up, shook my hand, and he leaves. Didn't say nothing, he left. Well, he was back the next week, and the next week, and the next week, and he sits right back there. And then, so I get talking to him, and next thing he comes up, he goes, this is a great place. He goes, the church I came from, man, as soon as the pastor said after 10 minutes, said goodbye, they were like rats leaving a ship. They were off and gone. It was empty. He goes, here, we can't get anybody to leave. I go, yeah, isn't that great? People around here just love to be around each other. He goes, yeah. And I go, hey, why don't you start coming to Wednesday night Bible studies with me? He goes, no. I go, why not? And he goes, well, I don't want to be known as a Bible thumper in town. I go, oh, okay. All right, that's all right. So time goes on, and we bought a house, and we need to remodel. He came over every night for 7 months, 6 days a week. Him and his wife helped, and we remodeled, gutted this house, and we put it all back together. And we moved in. They even put us up in one of their rentals for free, so we had a place to stay. So we get going, and then the church comes along, and we're working on the church, and we're doing the church building for 9, 11 months, something like that. We get the church about done, and I'm still doing Bible studies as we can on Wednesday nights and things right there amongst all the construction and stuff. And he shows up one Wednesday night. I look over at him, and he goes, "It's too late. I've been hanging with you too long. They think I'm a Bible thumper." I go, "Okay, well, come on in, sit down." You know, now he shares in the Bible studies. So I don't have to do them every Wednesday. We share. He does a Wednesday, I do a Wednesday. He does a Wednesday, I do a Wednesday. The other gentleman, his name is Jerry. Great guy. He came along, he was in the world still, but still trying to lean towards Christ. But he came from a different background and kind of church hopped and everything else. And he came back in, but he had not a problem, but he occasionally drank. And I shared him about what happened and how God relieved me of that and took me out of it. It was ministry that brought me out of that. And so I said, yeah, I gave it all up because Pastor Steve Bliss wanted me to do announcements, and I'm thinking, well, occasionally I have a beer, and I didn't tell him this, and I said, you know, if I do that, I'm before the pastor, so I'm going to have to quit drinking beer, and I don't have it a lot, but I have occasionally, and so I'm going to have to do something. So about 3 weeks goes by, and Steve goes, well, are you going to do it or not? And I go, well, I'm thinking about it. Well, why? And I told him, and he goes, well, whatever you want to do, just okay. Well, God says, okay, it's time for you to quit. That's stupid anyway, but that's what I was going through. Quit that, and you need. So that was the course 16 years ago, 17 years ago, that he brought me to the point to where he had me become a pastor. It's those little things. Having faith in him that I can get through and don't need that stuff, that I can go away from it. Well, Jerry is kind of in the same boat, doing the same thing. And I knew about it and heard about it, so I didn't let him do too much, anything in the way of he come to Bible studies every Wednesday night, but I wouldn't let him lead anything or do anything. I just kind of kept him out there because where he was at in life, and that's okay. Well, one day something happened in his family. He was down in New Orleans with that's where he's from, and it was his family, and something happened, and somebody called him on the carpet about him being a Christian and drinking. So it really set him back, and by the time he got home, he's thinking about it, he basically poured out all his booze and the whole bit. And he didn't tell nobody. His wife caught him pouring out, "What are you doing?" And smile on her face. "I quit." And he did. And you should have seen the growth immediately. The faith that came in him was amazing. And you see it grow and grow and grow. We bought a van. There was a van on sale going on for just a regular Ford van. It was up for auction, silent auction. So I'm praying about how much. I go online, I figure out how much it's going to cost. It's worth about $3,500. I'm figuring it's going to go for about $1,500. So I'm thinking, okay, Lord, how much do I need to put down on this? And I'm thinking, our thing between my wife and I is Joshua 24:15, me and my house. So I'm thinking, okay, well, I look it up, Joshua. Well, it's a verse, that's the sixth chapter, so 600. And then, okay, and 24.50, so it's 624.15. That's what I'll put in. So I've got my little paperwork, and I'm going to a place where I've got to turn it in, and I'm standing outside, and it's not filled out yet. And I walk up to the door, and I got to walk through this door to hand it to this lady, and I'm going, okay, Lord, I'm not supposed to do that. And so next thing I know is 24. So I wrote it down, 241.50. And I went, turned it into the bid, and went home. That night was Bible study. Went to Bible study and told the story just like that. And Jerry says, well, you just gave that away. 2 days later, I get a phone call. You won the bid. So we bought a van. And Jerry goes, wow. Instantly, he grew in faith. He started seeing how you trust in God. And no matter what happens, you trust in His steps and whatever. If He didn't give me the van, that's fine. But you trust in that, what he gives you. And you do that. Now, Jerry, this has been a year and a half ago, he's been going through all this. Now Jerry is the third person in our Bible study. So he's teaching Bible study tonight for me while we're here, because it's his night. And so we see the faith in these men growing, and that's where we're all at. And we trust in God, and through that, The people see who we are. It's because of the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you. We hold people up in our hands when they can't hold themselves anymore. And we all go through that, both sides. We're strong one minute, we're weak the next. And that's where the faith comes in. So our extreme faith tonight is Jesus Christ. Any way you look at it, any faith, go through the Bible, check them all out. There's 283 of them. You got the rest of the night to do that with. You can look them up and see, and every one of those is an extreme faith. You know why? Because it was either faith in God in the Old Testament, or it's a complete faith in Jesus Christ in the New. And our love is based on that. Our walk is based on that. Because if we get off on our faith, our walk's going to go with that. And we see a lot of people wane away. Maybe something didn't go right. Maybe they've been employed for 2 years. Maybe they've gone through, or maybe the spouse has passed away. Maybe whatever. And it brings them off that side, that end, that deep end. And it takes them away from that. And they just walk away from what God had for them. But our extreme faith is Jesus Christ. It's exciting. It's new. It's refreshing every day. We get that through His Word. We praise Him. We worship Him through that. Lord, I thank You for this time that we're able to get together and to share Your Word and to see what You have for us, Lord. I thank You for this time that we get to see how faith and how extreme faith is just in everything that we do, everything You have for us, Lord. Our daily walk. Everywhere we go, every time we share the gospel, that's extreme faith. That faith that we have that You are going to be the forerunner for us, that You're going to provide the words for us to say, that You're going to provide the person to come to us that we get to share with. I have faith in You, Jesus Christ, for all the promises that You have given, that every one of those will be fulfilled. Lord, I give it all to You tonight. I thank You for this time. I ask You to bless this church, the people of this church. I ask You to protect Patrick as he comes home tomorrow. Bring him home safely to us. Let all his connecting flights go flawlessly. May his plane land just as scheduled tomorrow. Lord, I ask You to refresh him while he was gone and to restore his soul. Bring the shepherd back. God, we praise You. We worship You. We love You, Jesus. We give it all to You. In Your holy name. And all the saints say, amen.
We hope the Lord has spoken to you through His Word today. If you've got questions or comments about this message, we'd love to hear from you. And if you're in the Wichita area and don't have a church that you call home, I hope you'll drop by and check us out. You can always get current service times and directions at area code 316-263-3804 or online at www.ccwichita.org. Most importantly, though, please remember, God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son that whomsoever believes in Him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. We've all sinned. We've all rebelled against God. And the penalty for that sin is eternal death. But God, in His mercy, sent Jesus to pay that price, to die that death for us. That's why Jesus went to the cross 2,000 years ago. He died so we wouldn't have to. And He rose again in glory, promising eternal life with Him forever for those who put their trust in Him. So if you haven't decided what to do with the cross, why not say yes to Christ's free gift of salvation right now? You can do it wherever you are simply by praying, Jesus, thank You for dying on the cross for me. I confess I am a sinner. and I need your free gift of salvation. Jesus, please come into my life. Be my Savior and be my Lord. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture tells us if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, then you are his. So pick up a Bible and start reading. Begin at the Gospel of John to understand and rejoice in everything it means to be a child of God. If you're in the Wichita area, I hope that you'll stop by. We'll make sure you have a Bible along with some materials to help you begin your walk with the Lord. If you're not close by, feel free to give us a call. We'll be glad to help you find a solid Bible teaching church in your area. Thanks again for listening. May the Lord richly bless you as you commit your ways to Him.